Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Windham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. I tell you, it's been a kind of a strange weekend, and I guess this is our Easter coup snap, but it's been cool. Been some pretty days, though, but just a little cool. But we hope you had a good week. It seems like we're going to have a little rain every weekend, but everything's going good, and we hope everything's going good with you this morning. We're glad to have you listening in today. This morning, we're going to be over in Matthew chapter 13. We're going to begin with verse 24, and we're going to read down through verse 33. As we think about this morning, kingdom builders, kingdom builders. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get right into it. Father, what a joy it is to be with us, Lord, this morning, with us just to come and to share this word over this radio station. We thank you for this wonderful privilege, but Lord, we know what a great responsibility it is to make sure that we preach your word and that we preach truth. So Lord, I pray this morning that you remove anything from me that would hinder me from being used by you, that I would be your vessel, that you can speak through, and that Lord, that you will always get the honor and the glory for whatever happens. We pray that Jesus will always be lifted up, that if there's one lost this morning, that they would come to know Jesus as their Savior. Lord, we pray for Christian people that will be drawn closer to you. We pray for those that may be sick and afflicted this morning, not able to go to their church. We pray for healing for them. We pray, Lord, for those that may be just getting home from the spring break. We pray for their safe travel, or others that may be traveling this morning listening in their cars. But we thank you for this opportunity, and we pray now that you have blessed the reading of your word. Allow your Holy Spirit to go wherever these people may be, but fill me with your Spirit now. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen. All right, let's get into it. Kingdom builders, Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to begin with verse 24, and we'll read down through verse 33. And it says, "In another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. And when he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And when he went his way, but when the blade of the sprung up and brought forth fruit, they appeared to tares also. And the servants of the householders came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence have these tares? And he said, An enemy hath done this. And the servant said, Wilt thou that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, bind them and bundle them to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then another parable he put forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed at the least of the seeds, but when it grown, it is the greatest among the herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened." You know, this morning as we think about the kingdom builders, being kingdom builders, Jesus was talking to these parables, and we know that he taught his disciples, first of all, in parables. He said that many people will not understand, and that's one of the reasons that he talked in parables, because what is a parable? Well, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's about as simple as you can put it. But he took things that they understood. They understood about sowing seed to grow. I know a lot of people are getting those gardens in the ground. A lot of them already got their gardens in the ground. But we know it's that time when we're looking at Good Friday and looking at the springtime. It's time to get that ground broken, get the seeds in the ground. We understand about planting seeds and then having what? Weeds come up in our seeds. We understand the parable of taking the mustard seed being a small seed. Now, excuse me. Our mustard seed, our mustard is a little bit different. It doesn't grow into a tree, but theirs would grow actually into a tree that it said that even had branches that what? That the birds could even go and roost in it, even though it was a real small seed. And then he said it was like a woman who puts leaven, or what we would call yeast, in her bread, and how that little bit of yeast can grow and affect the whole lump. So what I want us to see about these three parables this morning, and I know I preach sermons on every one of these parables separately, but what I want us to see about them is that the kingdom of God should what? Be building. It should be growing. It should be increasing. Just as the seed of the wheat grows up and you have to separate the tares from it, but still, you're growing wheat. Something's growing. When they talk about the mustard seed, how small it is, but what does it do? It grows into a mighty tree. What does that leaven do? You put a little bit of leaven, but it grows in that lump of dough to affect that whole dough. So we see these three different parables that Jesus gives about the kingdom that is all talking about what? Growing the kingdom. Growing the kingdom. Having the kingdom to build and to build upon it. We as a church, we have that responsibility to see that the kingdom is growing. Now, I know I've alluded to this, and this, I guess it's one reason the Lord gave me this message. I know I said something about it a couple sermons ago, about so many times we're so busy about doing what? Building our own kingdoms that we forget about the kingdom of God. People are building their own kingdoms. No matter what, how small or how great your little kingdom may be, you're busy about building your own family, your own life, your own possessions, whatever it may be. It may just be in an apartment that you have, but you're in your car and your job, you're building your own little kingdom. You may own great amount of land and property, but whatever it is, it's your own little kingdom that we're building. And so many times we see the church is building its own kingdom, but I wonder, are we building the kingdom of God? Are we building the kingdom of God? Is that our main purpose, to build a kingdom of God? So how do we build a kingdom of God? Do we do it through building more buildings? Do we do it through buying more property? Do we do it for building more things that can attract people? Or how do we build the kingdom of God? How can we be kingdom builders? Well, we need to understand then what the kingdom of God is. We find in Matthew chapter 16, and we see the story of where Jesus is sitting with his disciples, and he asked the disciples a question. He says, "Who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am?" And some of them said, "Well, some people think you're John the Baptist, came back to life. Some think you're Elijah. Some think that you're another prophet or something." And they said, "Well, who do you think that I am?" And I know I love to preach that, because see, it all boils down to, who do the church really think Jesus is? Who do we as his followers really think Jesus is? That really determines how much kingdom building we're doing for him compared to how much kingdom building we're doing for ourselves. So what did Peter stand up and say? You know, this is one time that we see Peter gets it right. Isn't this amazing? Peter gets it right this time, because what does Peter say? He says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're that Messiah. You're the one that we're waiting for. You are the Son of God." And what did Jesus say? He said, "Peter, you finally got one right, man. You finally got one right." And he said, "Upon this rock," he changed his name, says, "now you're going to be called Peter, and I'm going to build my church upon this rock." Well, it wasn't Peter he was going to build a church upon. What was the rock that he was talking about? The rock is that he is the Savior of the world, that he is the Christ that we was waiting for, that he is the Son of the living God. He is the one and the only true Messiah. And then in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, he says something very, very significant that we need to understand this morning. You know, we can get the answer right. We can say we believe that Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords and the Messiah of the world and the Savior of the world. We can say all that. But then he said this. He said, "I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound, and whatever you loose will be loose. But I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." Listen to me. We have the responsibility of building the kingdom of God. We have been given the keys. So what are these keys? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to have the keys that open up heaven for all people, that opens up that entrance into heaven. And what is that? Jesus says, what? "I came to seek and save those that are lost." Jesus says that what? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes in the Father except through me. There is no other name in heaven or earth by which you must be saved. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. These are all the keys that we have to open the door for people to get into heaven so that we can build the kingdom of God. Now, are we doing that? If we're not, then why not? When we look around and we see what's going on in our denominations today, not just ours, but many denominations around the world, we see that it seems as if we're having that lax time, and we see a great falling away. We see a great decline in building the kingdom of God. Now, I know several years ago, the Southern Baptist Convention really got into this church planting, and everywhere you look, they want to plant churches. Well, you know, one thing we don't need in Pike County is another church on another corner, is it? I mean, we got one on every corner now, just Baptist churches. We got 30 of them, not counting all the other different denominations that we have. But the problem is, are we building our kingdoms? Are we building God's kingdom? See, brothers and sisters, it's not all into that just planting a church. It's in reaching people for Christ. And we bragged about, as a convention, how that we had over 3,000 new churches back several years ago in 1 year. But what we didn't tell is we had 3,000 and some old churches close their doors. Now, I mean, what are we doing here? We just swapping one for the other? You know, is that what we're doing? But are we really building the kingdom? Here it says these wheats, they grew. And you could tell the difference between a wheat and a tare. It says that this mustard seed, it grew and it got big enough. This small seed, this leaven affected. It didn't say that they grew, you know, into one tree and then so they cut another tree down, did it? It didn't say that they just had all tares and no wheat. It didn't say that the leaven only affected a little bit, and then she added more dough and cut the leaven down. No, it says they began to grow. It affected the whole thing. And brothers and sisters, we are to be kingdom builders. But the problem is, I think, that we don't understand, well, what is the kingdom of God? Somebody was to ask you, if we're supposed to be building the kingdom of God, then what is the kingdom of God? Well, some people would say, well, it is a church. We're supposed to build a church and have the church bigger and better and bigger and better. And, you know, I was just watching on the news this past week to where a church there in Jackson, it opened up this whole new sports complex, and it was talking about what all they had in the sports complex. The try they had showed the climbing wall and all the basketball courts and the exercise places. And they were talking, is that what building the kingdom of God is all about? Now, I know they're trying to get the people in, and they're using that as to entice people in so maybe they can share the gospel and get the people off the street. But listen to me, is that really building the kingdom? And somebody was asking, well, man, they're building the kingdom of God. Look at that. Look at what they're doing. You know, we have built a lot of different things and did a lot of remodeling in the last 19 years that we've been here at West Macomb. And a lot of people, you know, would look around and say, man, so y'all on fire for God. Look at all that building and look at all that you're doing, you know. And I would tell them sometimes, I say, well, it's just an illusion. You know, we can build all the buildings. We can have all the new parking lots. We can do everything that you can imagine and remodel. But if we don't have people coming to know the Lord, then what in the world is it for? I mean, what is the kingdom of God? What is it supposed to be? Well, I want us to look at several things about this kingdom of God, how that we are to be kingdom builders. The first thing I want us to see is that it is a righteous kingdom. The second thing we're going to see is that it is a spiritual kingdom. The third thing we'll see is it is an everlasting kingdom. It is a working kingdom. It is a kingdom, number four, that should be sought after. And then lastly, it is a kingdom for the poor. The kingdom for the poor. So let's go back and look at these five things as we think about kingdom building, that we are to be building the kingdom. We have the keys to heaven. We have it. And whatever we bind here on earth will be bound. Whatever we loose here on earth will be loose. So let's think, first of all, that it is to be a righteous kingdom. Now, if we still have your Bible open in Matthew chapter 13, look at verses 41 through 43. It says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, which who hath had ears, let him hear. Now, let's go back and let's think about that parable of the sower who goes and sows, and that of the wheat and the tares. So he plants his garden, and then what does it say? It says that the enemy, which we know is Satan, slips in at night and he puts tares in the middle of the wheat. Well, you really can't tell the difference, you know, when it's small, when it's growing up. But as it gets bigger, it's kind of like corn sometimes, you know, it'll kind of look like Johnson grass sometimes till it gets bigger, a little bigger, till you can tell the difference in it. And so we see that they couldn't tell the difference. Well, it gets big, we see that they could tell the difference. So his worker said, well, you want us to pull that tares up out of it? He said, no, because it'll disrupt them. But he says, when it comes harvest time, what did he say? He says, then we will gather up that wheat, and we will and put it in my barn, but we'll gather up those tares first, and we will bundle them, and we will burn them. And this is what he's talking about here. There shall not be anything in the kingdom of God that offends, anything that doeth iniquity, all that is wicked, that's going to be done away with, because my kingdom is a righteous kingdom. Now, if we're going to build the kingdom of God, then we got to build on righteousness. We got to build on righteousness. You know, when the church started just allowing anything, and you could do anything and still, you know, call yourself a Christian and begin, you know, become a member of the church. You know, it seems as if we've made it so easy. I can remember one time that we had a program that you went and visited people, and all that you had to do was just ask them, do you want to be a member of the church, or do you want to be a member of our Sunday school? We was trying to get our Sunday school enrollment, and our leaders told us that just go around, if anybody wants to put their name on the roll, put their name on the roll and try to get our Sunday school numbers up. Well, we did that. We got our Sunday school numbers up. If you did that, I didn't do that. But if you did that, it would get your numbers up. I mean, you'd look like you had a big number in Sunday school. But guess what? You may have 200 on roll, but you didn't have 100 becoming. Well, what good is that? You know, what good is that? I mean, I can remember back when I was a kid that you had to come 3 Sundays to Sunday school in a row. You remember those days? And if you came 3 Sundays in a row, then they would put your name on the roll in Sunday school. See, brothers and sisters, we have lowered our standards in our churches. We're supposed to be building a kingdom of righteousness, not just building a kingdom of people that are still living unrighteous lives and people who are still not living the ways of the Lord and still living the ways of the world, and we want them to just come into the kingdom. Well, look, that's not going to work. You know, he's given us those keys because it is to let people in and keep people out. And those keys that we have got to be righteousness. We got to see those people repent and come into the Lord. We got to see them change their lives and become new people and go and sin no more. We got to see them accept Jesus and become that new person in Christ. We got to build a righteous kingdom, one that is righteous. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we're supposed to be holier than thou, and I'm not saying that the kingdom is not for sinners. It is. But it's for sinners that have repented. It is for sinners that have changed their lives, because the kingdom of God is going to be a righteous kingdom. The tares are not going to get in. They're going to be bundled up and they're going to be burned. They're going to be cast out in that outer darkness where there's gnashing of teeth. Did you see that in verse 42? Put them in that furnace where there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, let's look at the next thing. It is a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of God is to be something spiritual. It is to be something that is not just fleshly or materially, but it is something that is spiritual. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy," what? "In the Holy Ghost." So you see that? There's that word righteousness again. He says the kingdom of God is not meat and drinking. The kingdom of God is not these fleshly and these worldly things. Now, we see time and time again, when you look at the kingdom of God, it talks about that it has no boundaries. It has no geographical boundaries. That the kingdom of God is what? With the people of God. It is in the hearts of the people of God. It's scattered all amongst this world that we have. There's Christian people in Africa. There's Christian people in China even. There's Christian people in Russia. There's Christian people even in America. Isn't that amazing? In Pike County. And we that are Christian people who have truly accepted Christ, then we are in that spiritual kingdom. And guess what? We're all part of the kingdom of God. It is all part of the kingdom of God. It doesn't have some geographical boundary that you can see the lines and the property lines set out that you can say, well, this is America, and this is Canada, well, this is Mexico. You can't say, well, this is the kingdom of God, and this is the kingdom of the devil right here. It is a spiritual kingdom that crosses all boundaries and everywhere. It is something spiritual. So are we building something spiritual? Are we building something physical? You know, that's one of the things that I've said all the time here at West Macomb Baptist Church. Numerically, we may have not have grown a lot. Numerically, we may not have a lot of growth in numbers. Matter of fact, we've been up and down. We're probably down lower than, I know that we're down lower in number than we were when I first came 19 years ago. But guess what? We are more spiritual. I know that we are. I have grown spiritually. Denise and I know at this church we have probably grown more spiritual than we have in any church that we've ever been at, in any church that we've pastored, because it's just been a great experience and just the way that we've grown. I've seen our people grow, those people that have been here. I've seen them grow spiritually. I've seen them come closer to the Lord. I've seen them do things that they never thought they could do. I've seen them go places that they never thought they would go and just see them serve the Lord. Because, see, what we're trying to build is something spiritual, not something physical. It is something that is spiritual that we're trying to build. It is something that we know that goes beyond the four walls and the brick walls and goes beyond the parking lots and the fellowship halls. It is something that goes to the heart, that is spiritual, that we're trying to build. So is that what we're doing? Is that what we're doing? You know, if you go to a church that's not very spiritual, I hear horror stories of people who go to worship services and the preacher never prays. They never pray. I hear horror stories of people going to churches that the preacher never opens the Bible and reads from the Word of God. Well, how spiritual are you going to be if you're not praying, you're not reading the Word of God? What kind of kingdom are you trying to build? What kind of church is this? And I mean, these are some of our Baptist churches. We've talked about churches who have no invitation at the end of their service. You know, they don't have any invitation. Well, how spiritual is that? What if the Spirit moved that morning on somebody's heart? Listen, we're trying to build something spiritual, not just something physical. But are we doing it? Are we doing it? Well, let's look at the third thing. It is to be an everlasting kingdom. God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. We see even in Daniel chapter 4, even back in the Old Testament in verse 3, we see talking about Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel and how that God, you know, and Daniel writes and says, what? My kingdom is what? An everlasting kingdom. My kingdom's not going to come to an end. Now look, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom would come to an end, would it not? Babylon's kingdom would end one day. We see the Roman Empire, as great as it was, it failed. It came to an end one day. All these great kingdoms that we see have fallen time and time again. The United States is right on the verge. It's teetering right now on the verge of collapsing. And we better watch out, because these earthly kingdoms, these physical kingdoms, they will pass away. They will fall. They will be dissolved one day. But guess what? The kingdom of God is something everlasting. Are we building something everlasting? Are we building a kingdom that's everlasting? One that's going to last forever and ever and ever. You know, I was watching a movie the other day, and somebody was talking about building his kingdom. And he was saying, you know, until you get your name on a building, you really hadn't accomplished anything. You got to get your name on a building. You got to have that everlasting kingdom. He said that way it would go on and on and on if you just got your name on a building. And think about that. You know, is that our goal, to get our name on a building, to get a street named after us? You know, how many people you know have their streets named after them? Is that what brings you into an everlasting kingdom? Well, look, that doesn't get it, does it? Even that one day will pass away. Even those one day will forget who you are, no matter if you have your name on a building, no matter if a street's named after you. What we're trying to build is something everlasting. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, he says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he says, I'm going to give you an entrance into it. It's going to be given to you abundantly that you can enter what into what? The everlasting kingdom of the Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. So here he says, you have entrance into something everlasting. You can get there. We said a while ago, beginning, Matthew 16:9, I've given you the keys unto heaven. What you bind on earth will be bound. What you loose on earth will be loosed. You have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You open that door. There is an entrance, and it is to an everlasting kingdom. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You know, sometimes we see these fictional movies where people find some kind of time warp or some kind of place in, you know, just some kind of place in the atmosphere that they can go through and enter into something everlasting, and they can get into this entrance. And yeah, I've seen everything from crawling through a hole in a closet, you know, to whatever. And you've seen these moves. Isn't it amazing how that people are looking for entrance into some kind of everlasting, something that can live forever and ever? And so let's look at then at the third thing. The fourth thing, not only is it a righteous kingdom, not only is it a spiritual and everlasting kingdom, but this kingdom that we have the keys to is a working kingdom. It is a working kingdom. You know, everything that we do as in the kingdom of God, it is a kingdom of workers. We're supposed to be working. If we're supposed to go and build the kingdom of God, then it's not going to happen if we're not all workers. And guess what? The paid staff can't build it by themselves. You know, they can't build it by themselves. We can't do it. You know, if preachers were going to reach the world for Christ, we'd have done it. There's no way that we can do it. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 11, we see Paul writing, and he says, and Jesus called justice, who is of the circumcision, those only are my fellow workers. Did you hear that? They are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have become a comfort unto me. Pray, you know, pray for me. And he talked about Barnabas. He talked about others in that same verse. But do you see who he called them? These are fellow workers unto the kingdom of God. Fellow workers. See, when Paul started these churches, when Paul called these people, when he brought Timothy under his wing, that young man, brothers and sisters, it was to be a fellow worker. It was to help in carrying out the work of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is a working kingdom. It's not just the kingdom that you just get into, and once you get in there, you say, well, I made it, now I can just sit down and relax, and I don't have to do anything. You know, the Bible talks about that the harvest is truly white. It's truly white. It's past harvesting. But what did he say? The laborers are few. Pray unto the Lord of the harvest that what? He will send forth laborers. So if we're going to get into this righteous kingdom, the spiritual kingdom, this everlasting kingdom, we see that it is a kingdom that we'll be working. We have to work in it. We have to be fellow workers. We're not just fellow participants who just sit there and watch and just there to be a spectator. We actually have to do our part. Fourthly, we see we're getting out of time. Fourthly, it is a kingdom that ought to be sought for. People ought to be seeking to get into this kingdom. You know, he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we quote this all the time, seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God. And then all these other things will be added unto you. Think about that just a minute. How many people we see trying to break the doors down to what? To get in to our nation. They're trying to get into our nation. They're trying to seek a way to enter to our nation. We see that many times that they'll hire drug lords. They'll have people who will take them and abuse them and charge them great sums of money because they're seeking to get into the kingdom of God. You know, what would happen if people sought to get into the kingdom of God in that way? What if they had a desire to get into the kingdom of God in such a way that they could do anything? People would do anything. Yeah, I mean, they'll pay great sums of money. They'll sell their bodies and whatever just to come to America. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And then we don't realize what we do have. What we do have. If people only saw the kingdom of God, and the reason is because we who hold the keys to the heaven, we're not telling them about this great, righteous, spiritual, everlasting, working kingdom that they can be a part of. It is a kingdom for poor people. It is a kingdom for people to come from everywhere. He tells us in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5:3, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. He said it again in Luke 6:20. He lifted up his eye and looked to his disciples, and what did he say? Blessed are they that are poor, because theirs is what? The kingdom of God. So we see it as a kingdom for everybody. It's a kingdom that anybody can get in. Those that are downtrodden, those that are broken, coming to me. You know, we talk about the Statue of Liberty, talking about give me your poor, give me your man, give me those that are hurting, that people can come in to America. And that's what we have. We have people coming in from other countries and other places that are poor. They are seeking to get into our kingdom. They're willing to work and do anything. And that's what gets me. They'll work to get into this kingdom. But what if we had that same desire to build the kingdom of God? If we were kingdom builders, telling people, taking those keys and opening up for those to come through Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that it would be like these kingdoms that we looked at, the sowing of the seed, the mustard seed, the leaven, that we could see it have that kind of effect. This righteous, spiritual, everlasting, working kingdom that people should be seeking after. A kingdom that four people can get into. Isn't that amazing? Are we building the kingdom? What are we building? Our kingdom or the kingdom of God? Are you part of that kingdom? Have you entered into that kingdom through Jesus Christ? He's the only way this morning. Enter into it today. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you most of all for that wonderful kingdom, that everlasting kingdom that you have set up for us. Help us, Lord, to live our lives righteously. Help us to work to get into that kingdom, Lord, that it is something spiritual. And Lord, we thank you that everybody has that opportunity, no matter who they are. Lord, if there's one listening to my voice this morning does not know you, help them to accept Jesus today, to enter into that kingdom, for we ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.